Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And this week, we are joined by Catherine Warnock. Catherine is the Vice President of Original Content with the global phenomenon television series, The Chosen. You may have heard of it. Before The Chosen, Catherine was head of faith and family content at MGM, and she has worked with all sorts of brands and things, all with the goal to create purposeful, anchored, and mission-driven media. Amanda, this was such a great guest for this episode.
I mean, such a delight.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so, y'all listening, this is going to be a great episode. We are in the final week of Matthew. We are also in our final week of Lent. So this is Holy Week. And you will notice, so that you're not surprised, we are going to cut ourselves off on the reading so that Resurrection Sunday gets to sit alone in its own episode and we can enter into that together and celebrate together on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. So you all enjoy this episode with Catherine and then come back. It'll be probably just about a 5-minute listen that we will have your Resurrection Sunday reading in its entirety just right here on the podcast.
That's right. All right, let's get to this episode. Catherine Warnock, welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. We just couldn't be happier to have you here today.
Oh, I'm so excited, guys. This is like my favorite ever. Thank you.
Well, I mean, we talk to our guests sometimes about getting homework to be on our podcast and all of those things. And this episode was no exception. There was some homework. Thank you for doing all of that.
No, it was great fun. I was like, wait, normally I'm staying up at night reading legal briefs or contracts or I was like, I get to read the word. This is part of my job right now. I was like, so thank you for letting me touch your world a bit.
Oh, I love that. Actually, tell us a little bit about your world, because I love, like, I want to hear more about this. So I mentioned in our intro, Catherine, that you are Vice President of Original Content for The Chosen. And that sounds amazing, but I actually don't know what that means. Can you tell us what that means?
It's the best job in the world. I get to have so much fun all day long. So I get to work for The Chosen, which is not only the biggest show in the entire world, which is just mind-blowing. Just
mind-blowing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It's just mind-blowing. But I get to work for a show I really believe in and obviously get to see people encounter the authentic Jesus globally. That's amazing. So I oversee a number of verticals. I oversee original content directly. So that's any ancillary content, documentary series, unfiltered Gen Z reacts to The Chosen, our Christmas specials. That's me. I oversee our special projects, theatrical releases, theatrical premieres, Feeding of the 5,000. So we tag team in with production for the massive productions where the scenes where there are calls for like thousands of extras, hundreds of extras. Yeah. I oversee PR, public relations. I oversee our cast relations. So we do a lot of fun things globally with the cast. And so we work hand in hand with our international team, just making sure our cast are taken care of. And the list goes on.
Wow.
But that's a bit of a glimpse.
I love hearing that. And for our listeners who, if there are listeners who aren't aware of The Chosen, would you just give those folks who are listening who might not know a little bit of an understanding of what The Chosen is?
Yes. So it's the first ever multi-season show about the life of Jesus told through the perspective of those who knew him best. So those are his disciples and those that encountered him through miracles and so on. And it's historical drama, first and foremost. And our heart is just to show the world the authentic Jesus. So we really dive into scripture. Our whole goal is to direct people back to scripture. But we dive in between the lines of scripture and imagine just through a humanity perspective, but also a historical and, you know, a deep theological and historical perspective. What was life like for first century Jews?
Yeah.
So we do like to call ourselves, you know, we are a Jewish show first and foremost.
I love that. Also, I was surprised in watching just like the beautiful and impressive heavy use of the Old Testament, because it's a show that narrates New Testament events, but just so much Old Testament brought in so many creative ways. I absolutely think that you have, if your goal is to drive people back to scripture, it's happening and it's working. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah, it's thrilling. Just the amount of messages we get on social media, emails of people just saying, I've hated reading the Bible. I've always avoided it. But because of your show, I'm desperate to get in the Word.
Oh, amen.
My kids are desperate to get in the Word. And the list just goes on and on because now they have that human, authentic context of, because right. we read scripture sometimes, or we see the stained glass windows and these beautiful churches, and it just feels removed through centuries, right? Mm-hmm. And so to experience of, oh, Simon's wife could have very easily had a miscarriage, just like, you know, I've had, or, you know, it's right. so relatable on so many levels. So suddenly this book that is alive has flesh on it. Mm-hmm. And so you meet Jesus as both man and God, and it's stunning. Best job in the world.
It's cool because I feel like just this immediate kinship with you, Catherine, because our roles or the organizations that we work for are so similar in that She Reads Truth podcast, please let this not be your final destination. Please let this be the thing that drives you into reading scripture. And likewise, I mean, y'all say on your website, like, our goal is that this would be something that directs people to scripture. And I love that on both ends we're going, hey, please don't let this be your final stop. Please let this be like a train that carries you to where you really need to go.
Yes.
Catherine, what did you all have any clue the impact that was ahead for this? I mean, it just truly, that you just said, I mean, it's the, I didn't know that it is the, how did you put it, the largest television series in the world?
Yeah, the largest show in the world, yeah.
Like, what does that look like numbers-wise? Give us some sort of a grasp of what that means.
Yeah, I mean, goodness, so we've had about, we're getting the final numbers now, but we've had easily over 150 million. That's, I know it's much higher, but until we have the actual numbers, I can't, I don't want to say and go on record and be wrong maybe because they're still being finalized, but easily over 150 million unique viewers around the world.
That's
amazing. That's just mind-boggling. You know,
it is
far surpassing, you know, 600 million views worldwide. We're well on our way to reaching a billion people with the authentic Jesus. And so to answer your question, I know Dallas and the writers at the origins of this never in a million years thought this would explode as it has.
Yeah.
I have a different origin story. I was actually head of faith and family content at MGM Film Studios under Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. And the pilot episode came across my desk. I won't bore you with all the various details. I watched the whole thing, which you never do in this industry. You watch it for 5 seconds, you know what you have. It's the first time since or prior that I've watched the entire thing in one sitting. And I was crying by the end of it. I immediately emailed Mark and Roma and I said, you have to acquire this. This is going to take over the world. So I feel like I was let in on a little secret, but I was like on a different island from where The Chosen was at that point. You know, and then our paths cross. I ended up working for The Chosen. And now I feel like I'm, oh God, you let me in on this secret years ago, before even the first actual real episode one was even shot, even a clip, a frame or a scene of it was shot. You let me hear the secret. You know, this will become a global phenomenon. So I feel like I knew.
I like that.
Jesus loves me best. No, I'm just kidding. But no, Dallas will say he had no idea.
That is so interesting. And, you know, we're reading, as you know, the book of Matthew right now, the Gospel of Matthew. And we were talking last week with our guest about asking the Lord to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what he has for us. And it feels like there was some giving you eyes to see something there that others hadn't, you know, couldn't see. And I love that not only were you right, but that you get to now devote your, you know, talent and your skills and your daily work to getting this in front of as many people as possible, which it sounds like you're doing an excellent job of doing that.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. All want to just get to heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, that's what we want to hear. That's what I'm, every single thing I do, every single day, I just stop and I pause and I just, I go, Jesus, do I feel your pleasure? Am I pleasing you today? And then that's enough. I'm like, that's enough. People could hate me or love what I'm doing, whatever. But I'm like, that's enough. It's all I need. So
that's good.
You're here.
Well, as we open up the book of Matthew, this is, I mean, we're starting in chapter 22 and working our way through the end. I think 28 chapters total in the book of Matthew. But I mean, we are kind of winding down this part of the story, right? And I love, before we hit record, you were saying that you have been kind of stuck yourself in one particular gospel. So I want you to tell us about that for a second. Also, just, I mean, how has being stuck where you've been kind of connected you as you've opened up Matthew?
Yeah. So yeah, I've been stuck in the book of Luke. I cannot leave the book of Luke. And I'm
not
reading
a bad place
it.
To be.
No. And I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm like, I'm getting you, Luke. Like, okay, Luke, I get you. I get what you're after here. The way he like just paints the whole spectrum of those that love Jesus and why Jesus would bring together this ragtag team of such opposing views and ask them to like coexist under the banner of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's so much of what we do with The Chosen. We have vastly different streams of Christian faith, if you will. Like some of us are charismatics, sure. evangelicals, Baptists, Catholics, yeah. so on. And just to see this group of people come together and work so beautifully. So that's what Luke, it's like he'll tell a powerful story about a male or a protagonist or perspective. And then we go to the female perspective and he's just so balanced of how he just constantly reminds you Jesus doesn't forget about anybody.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's just about love and the fullness of the kingdom being able to be lived out. Like Luke doesn't mess around. He's like, it's simple. The gospel is simple. So anyways, to go to Matthew, it was really nice to be kind of like jump-started back into another book, but just to see the similarities between Matthew and Luke and also the differences and just how they both painted with a different brush, but yet the same story was really powerful.
That's a good way to put it. Painting the same picture, but with a different brush.
Yeah. I like that.
It is. It is true. And as this episode releases, it is the Monday of Holy Week. You know, that's we've been walking through the season of Lent, the second kind of half of the season of Lent. We've been in the book of Matthew. And so we have now arrived here at the final week, which is Holy Week. And so as I think this is the first time, is this the first time that we've read Matthew in Lent?
Yes, it is.
Specifically all of Matthew.
I can say with authority.
Okay, yes. You've been in the spreadsheets.
I've been in the spreadsheets.
Rachel knows.
I love spreadsheets.
Well, listen, you and me both.
I love people who love spreadsheets. And so I love now that we're getting to walk into Holy Week with this complete picture that Matthew has painted of who Jesus is. And so we can have these stories in mind and in view as he is now decidedly walking to Jerusalem, to the cross. So I'm excited to be in these passages with you two today.
And we get, I mean, typically we have 5 reading days in a week. And this time, this is kind of like one of those rare weeks where we have 7 reading days, because we'll read on Saturday, we will also read on Sunday. There's a lot to cover, and it's not only lengthy, but it's dense. So there's, I mean, we could go 100 different ways here. As what I don't want to do is miss what's coming. I don't know, Amanda, you start us off.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this week starts off with a bang. Like, it feels like these conversations that Jesus is having with the disciples get really real, real fast.
Yeah.
Like, hey, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus is like, have a seat. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this for a minute. That was me paraphrasing. Catherine, I'm thinking about what it must be like for you all reading like something like this, like the parable of the wedding banquet. And I'm sorry, it's the primary commands. The who's going to be the greatest is coming.
Yes.
But on Monday, it's the Pharisees saying, which is the greatest commandment. And so when you read these, Catherine, do you read it now in just like living color in your brain because of your daily work?
I mean, I feel like I always have done that. So I think for most people, yes, that's the main feedback we get. But for me, there's an increased level of holiness and reverence.
Oh, that's good.
Because I can see so much more clearly, wow, Jesus, you had to wrestle with humanity just like the rest of us. You're in the garden, you're in agony, but you did it purely. And so I see the show has helped me to understand that tension so much better. And just to see his compassion so much better. And Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, oh my goodness, he just is anointed to play this role and how he embodies that so perfectly. So that's what I see differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just even that first thing that we get to read in this week, I like that it says, like, once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. And we get the parable of the wedding banquet. There are a couple of wedding banquet-ish parables in the Gospels. And some of them are the same, you know, repeated gospel to gospel, and some of them are a little different. But this particular one, you know, we got the banquet and it's ready. And to like go and like invite all the people, and all the people are too busy. And then just like go out to where like the roads end and like gather other people. And then it was interesting to me in this particular version, just that like there was a person, he wasn't dressed in wedding clothes. He wasn't dressed for a wedding. So the banquet holder said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." And I feel like I needed a minute with that. Like, okay, what does it mean? Because that certainly doesn't mean, oh, his clothes aren't right. Because that's not what we know of Jesus' character in his kingdom, right?
Well, I mean, if that was the point, they wouldn't have
intentionally headed
out to the margins of the city.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I have an idea of what this might be, but I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys.
Gosh, for me, two main things I look for all the time when I'm reading scripture, and in this parable in particular, it jumped out at me, is I constantly read through the lens of, what do you require of us, God? Because you're three in one. You sure as heck made a way for us to be two in one. And so I constantly read through the lens of requirements. And so here he says, but they chose not to come is the first thing. The first group he invites, they chose not to come. Yes, because they were more concerned with X, Y, and Z, but they chose not to come. And right there, I'm like, that's a requirement. Like, we have a requirement to make the right choices. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to make the right choices. And then I go ahead and it's like, for everyone is invited to enter in, but few respond in excellence. That's one translation. And excellence means, you know, just the fullness of our yes, basically, right? That's my paraphrase. That's Catherine Warnock's paraphrase. But even wearing the garments of abiding in Christ, living for him in fullness. And I'm just like, these are all requirements. He's giving us the cheat sheet of, if you want to abide with me, these are the things that I need you to choose me. I need you to live for me. I need you to let me change things about you. And so that's what I took away from it.
I like that.
Oh, Lord, meet me, change me. I give you my yes today.
I mean, for those of you who were only listening and didn't get the benefit of seeing, like, even as Catherine was saying that, she was like holding her garment, like holding her jacket and going, change things about me. Like, and I feel like on top of that, it's just like, clothe me in your righteousness. That I would be clothed, because there's no garment that I can put on that would be appropriate for this wedding banquet.
No.
Like, at the end of the day, there's nothing that I can bring.
That's right.
In clothe me in your righteousness, and that is the only way I get to be here, right?
Yes.
In the same chapter, when the Pharisees do ask, and they're testing him, right? They're trying to trick him. But in verse 35, and one of them, an expert in the law, asks a question to test him. "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." And even just looking at that, like, what does the Lord require of us, right? Like, what is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I can do my best. But like, to me, that sounds like that is the ultimate multitasking. Because for me, it's like, okay, right now, I'm just going to love the Lord with all my heart. But then to think like, okay, and also all my mind, and also all my soul, and all my strength, and all my, you know, we need, it's like what you both have just said, like, we need Jesus to love Jesus. Like, we need the Holy Spirit to be able to be in relationship with God. And that's why, like, the truth of the triune God is just such, it's not just like, oh, cool doctrinal concept. It's like, no, it is essential.
That's right.
It is essential.
It's funny, as I was reading this passage, it kind of struck me in a slightly different way this time, just to realize that, you know, this was meant to be a trap. This question was meant to catch Jesus, maybe revealing who he wasn't or actually was or whatever it was. But for him in that moment to respond rightly, to teach in that moment, teach his present audience, to teach us. But like, the thing that struck me differently this time is like, he is the Word made flesh. So like, all of the Old Testament, all the law and the prophets were about him. And so for him to give this summative statement with authority that is correct. And we couldn't even see it that way. They certainly couldn't see it that way. Mm. But to go, this summarizes the Ten Commandments. I'll show you how these are the first four and these are the remaining six. And just to be able to, it feels way too light to be like, Jesus knew his Bible. No, he was the Word made flesh and he was able to answer with wisdom like we couldn't even imagine.
That's extremely powerful. Yeah. And I also love how he, you know, scripture tells us, you know, he will take us to glory to glory. Like our yes allows him to take us from glory to glory, our daily yes. And so when I say requirement as a recovering like performer, like and perfectionist, I don't, like, I look at that as it's freeing.
Yeah.
I want to be very clear on the distinction. Good. I don't, he's not a taskmaster going, Catherine, da da da. He's going, hey, Catherine, this is a requirement. So I want you to yearn for it. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to ask me to meet you there. I want, because Catherine, I bless you to be, you have permission to be in process. That's what he tells me all the time. Mm. And that's how I overcame shame in my life and perfection and performance. Cause he said, you have permission to be in process. Like I just asked for your yes and for you to keep pressing into me, keep moving forward. But these requirements, I don't expect you to hit the mark every single time.
Yeah.
He's like, I need you to be in process. I need you committed to the process of being made into my image. More
and here's
and more
the thing.
Every day.
That's good. Yeah.
I already hit the mark. Like, that's the beauty of it.
I know,
and,
right?
And I love what you said
the
earlier.
The eye there was Jesus.
Yeah. I want to be clear. It wasn't Rachel being like, well, Catherine, I already hit the mark. So checked, box checked. That's all there is, folks. No, I mean, like, that's the thing, though. Like, we're never going to hit the mark exactly, but the invitation to continue. I love what you said a little bit ago because you were saying, like, what does the Lord require of me, which is a very important question for us to be asking. Mm-hmm. And I love that you kind of tempered that with like, hear this in the right way. And the thing that you said was, he's the most righteous master. Like he is the only righteous master.
Yes.
So
yes.
You're not serving like an evil Lord, you know, you're serving someone who tenderly loves you, protects you, guides you, and sheds his blood for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a loving father. He's a good shepherd.
That's right.
He's, you
but
know.
Here are the things that we know that
right.
we know.
He's all of those things. And what I hear when you, like what you just explained and that clarification that is so important, Catherine, is I hear your heart and I also hear the invitational nature of the gospel and of Jesus, that like he is a walking invitation to know him and to be in communion with God the Father through him, through Jesus. And
here's the thing, like this genuinely, you couldn't have done this better, Catherine. I don't know if you meant to do this or not, but it leads us perfectly into day 23. So gold star, but in Matthew 23, like the religious hypocrites are denounced, right? And so we get to read, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seat at the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called rabbi by people. This is not the God that we serve. Mm-hmm. Do what they say, do not do what they do. It's exactly what you guys were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, truly, what a great transition, Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah. The part about that is, you know, if we were to paraphrase it, and some translations do hit here, but in verse 8, you know, the culmination of everything you just read, it's like Jesus saying, but you are to be different from that.
Right.
That's good.
Those are kind of the zingers and the little nudges of like when he's calling us to be different. Because I actually think Christians, like, we kind of forget when he says, be sly as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. We go press into the innocence, but we forget that, like, hey, Christians, we're supposed to be really sly as well, but just do it innocently, do it different from the way the world does it. The world does it through manipulation, et cetera. And so looking at it through that lens, I'm just constantly going, but you are to be different than that. What does that look like? Because people save me all the time. I'm like in this position of this globally successful show. And people are like, oh, is this what you've always dreamed of? I said, no, I dreamed of being a high school teacher. I'm just obedient. And so I'm doing it different. I'm like, God has had full permission to like bring me back down to waitress, back up to head of faith and family content at MGM, back down to laid off, have no money for a year, back up to like you know, executive of this global phenomenon show. And I'm just like, they all smell the same to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I be different, Jesus?
Yeah.
Because I read these scriptures about Pharisees and I'm constantly going, like, where's the Pharisaical traits in me, Jesus? Like,
that's right.
Because they slip up on us, man. They sneak up on us so easily.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I read this every time afresh and I'm just going, oh, Jesus, like, where is my heart not pure? Where am I seeking these things? Favor amongst men, highest seats at the banquet, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. that really stood out to me, but you are to be different from that, verse 23:8.
That's so good, Catherine. Something that we've been kind of seeing as a theme as we've been studying the book of Matthew has been this, and I'm sure you've seen it too, this call to not just see, but to perceive, to give us like ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to know. And I feel like that's what you're saying here. And then we even get to read a little bit about that when Jesus mm-hmm. gives the woes to the Pharisees. Ooh.
Woes are heavy.
The woes are not light.
Yeah.
But when he refers to them as blind guides, blind fools, blind people, just like we're getting to see that pattern that we've seen throughout the book of Matthew of going like, don't just see, but perceive. Don't just hear, but listen. And then he's there go the woes.
Yeah, there go the woes. And they kind of culminate here in chapter 23 in verse 25. Where he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Mm. You know, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. I think the answer to your question, Catherine, when you're like, Lord, like, am I being like this? Like, where am I being a Pharisee? Or the truth is that like only you and the Lord know that, because it is inside. It is not what is seen. Mm-hmm. And like what is on the outside can be so misleading. We all know that. We all can probably give personal testimony or have witnessed really heartbreaking situations where that is true. But it is so tempting because the pressure from the world who does see and judge from the exterior.
Yeah.
It makes no bones about what is success. What should your goal be? Mm-hmm. You know, like the Catherine, well, how be a waitress again? No way. Like you can't do that. You have too many gifts to steward. But what I hear you saying is, sure, and also I have gifts to steward, but also my first responsibility is to be obedient to the Lord and mm-hmm. follow Jesus. Like the scripture that came to mind as you were speaking is the psalm that says that God's presence is my good. Like you want to be where he is. You know, that looks different for all of us.
Yeah. And I think for me, I love studying the life of Joseph. My goal was, how do I allow the prison and the palace to smell exactly the same? Like how do I get to that place where they smell the same? Where I can still rise in favor and influence because of just my laid down heart of obedience to you, Jesus. And mm-hmm. he can't help but pour out his favor on his people who are just after him. And so Joseph modeled that so well. And I'm like, Joseph, I want to know. I can't wait to talk to him one day and just be like the bumps and the bruises. And did you have to cling to like what David talks about in Psalm 78, where David's talking about like, I have to force my mind to remember well who Jesus is. And that's the only way the prisons can smell the same as the palaces. So I read all that and I'm just going, oh, Jesus, you're just so faithful. I choose to what you were saying earlier of like my mind has to even worship him and love him fully and completely, not just my heart. But mm-hmm. my mind, and I do that mainly as a practice of remembering well.
That's good.
Of his great works and the many miracles he's worked in my life and others I love and know.
I think that there are a lot of ways to look at those woes. One way that I certainly never want to stop doing is, you know, hearing those as cautions, right? Like, and at the same time, knowing my assurance of pardon, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is a real both and there of just... But those woes, those cautions against listening and not hearing or seeing and not perceiving, I always want to heed those cautions. I never think that I, as an individual human, am above any of that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey,
Hey friends, Amanda here. Did you know that our friends at Healing Hands International have provided access to clean drinking water for more than 2 million people around the world? Through this work, HHI has witnessed firsthand that when women have access to clean water, they no longer spend their days walking and searching for water. Can you imagine? It allows for more time with their children and their families. It allows for more energy to be put into education and businesses that can provide income for their families. And this is where the Women of Hope program comes in. By offering business education, vocational training, even access to small business loans, Healing Hands International is giving women the opportunity to transform their present circumstances and create opportunities for their families to flourish. And most importantly, it's all done in partnership with local churches who are sharing the good news of the gospel. This Lenten season, as we are being reminded by Scripture to remember God's faithfulness to us, we have an opportunity to reflect His goodness to thousands of souls in need around the world. So will you stand with us and Healing Hands International as their Clean Water and Women of Hope programs collaborate to offer total transformation to one special village in southern Kenya? Join us by visiting hhi.org/truth. Together we can make a tangible difference around the world in Jesus' name. That's hhi.org/truth.
Hey friends, Rachel here. Just a quick break from this episode with Catherine to remind you that as women in the Word of God, every day, whenever we finish one series, we start another right after that. So this Sunday, of course, Resurrection Sunday, will be the last day of our Matthew series. And so on Monday, we will be starting a new series called The Presence of God. It's a fantastic series and a great way to come out of Resurrection Sunday to track the presence of God in Scripture and in our lives today. Y'all, that starts Monday, April 1st. And if you don't have a reading guide, it is not too late to get a digital copy. Go to shopshereadstruth.com. And if you use the code POGDIGITAL, POGDIGITAL, you get 20% off of the Presence of God digital reading guide. All right, I won't keep you anymore. Let's get back to this conversation.
Well, we ended, you know, last week's conversation reading Philippians 2 and talking about, you know, the humility and the exaltation of Christ. And I think that is kind of the undercurrent of what I hear in Matthew 23, and even says it outright in a couple of places, like in verse 11, the greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a very real sense in that, like, one of, in terms of what the Lord requires of us, it's like really humility gets at the root of most of this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's the putting ourselves in the place of God instead of, you know, leaving God in his place, but putting ourselves in the place of God for ourselves or others has disastrous consequences all the way around and is not congruent with what we say that we believe.
It's interesting. I don't know if we read about the parable of the rich young man, rich young ruler this week, or if we read about it last week, but
it was last week.
It was last week. But the thing that caught me this time was he was like, I've kept all of the laws. And Jesus said, if you really want to be perfect, go and sell all your things and give it away, give it to the poor. And I know that it's not in this week's reading, but it feels so related because there's like if you expect that perfection is going to have to come from you, then here's some more stuff that
you've got more work to do.
You've got more work to do. Or if you expect that perfection is going to come from me, let's talk. You know, let's have that relationship. Mm-hmm. While we're still on day 23, y'all, how about that section in verse 37 where Jesus, like the sweetest, most tender words about Jerusalem?
It's sad.
Okay, one of you read it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Catherine, would you read that for us, that 37, even just 37, verse 37?
Yeah. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you to your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing.
I feel like we have been spending so much good time in the Old Testament this past 12 months as a community that when I see Jesus feeling tenderness and heartbreak toward Jerusalem, like I have deeper context for that now, and I'm sure you do too. But like thinking about when he's talking about Jerusalem, he's just thinking like, he's thinking about the Exodus, like he's thinking about the exile. He's thinking about like the tribal allocations and allotments, like this piece of land. But more than that, these people are to be set apart. They are to be his people. Like, I mean, this is like the promises from Abraham forward.
Yeah.
And to go, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers its chicks. It's just heartbreak there.
And it's just even indicative of, you know, going back to what I said earlier of the choice, you know, another translation says, but you were too stubborn to let me gather. And, you know, the NIV is, but you were not willing. And I love reading different versions.
Just I love that. Of, but you were too stubborn. Interesting. But
yeah. Too stubborn to, and I'm just like, oh, so much of walking with Jesus and following. Cause it's like so much of the scriptures are actually like conflicting. Like he'll say one thing and then he'll say another. And it's like, oh, none of this was meant to be lived out of abiding relationship with you, Jesus. To hear your voice, to be in community, to be in accountability. Like we were not meant to live outside of relationship. And that's why it's like you have to stay close. You know, sometimes I'll tell my kids, great, go run free because I know they're safe. Other times I'm like, no, you have to stay right next to me. And they don't understand the difference. They only understand because they trust me and they know mommy has got their back, right? Yeah. So they just go with the flow. Yeah. And I'm like, it's the same with Jesus. And so I'm constantly going like, oh, because you see it. He tells his disciples later on, and I know we're going to get there, but he tells his disciples, you'll all desert me, you know, before the morning. You know, Simon Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And they're all like, no, 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 like surely not me. And it's like, we don't know ourselves. We think we know ourselves. We think we know what's in us. But it's like, no, we need utter dependence on Jesus. And that's another thing that really got me reading this. I'm like, oh, how many times like we as humans get in our own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get focused on the wrong things. Like, you know, it feels like all of 24, chapter 24, is they're wanting to know when the end is coming, how it's coming, what's going to happen. And, you know, and Jesus, you know, answers their questions with teaching. But, you know, so much of it is like nobody knows. Like it's going to happen when it happens. If you think you know the date, then that means it's not that date because nobody knows. And this is the Amanda Bible version. But one thing, like there are a few things that are just like more certain. And in 24:14, Jesus says, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So it's like the focus, it just feels like Jesus is constantly pulling the focus back to what he is doing. Not like, hey, I'm not giving you the play-by-play. You don't need to read the details of the final chapter. I'm telling, this is a need-to-know basis. And what you need to know is that I am doing a work. The work will be completed. And then I will come back.
Yes.
But we get so hung up on the wrong things.
There's two things that I just feel like we see repeated over and over and over again in the life of Jesus from when the angels announced his birth to the shepherds. They said, this is good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. So we have good news and we have all people, right? And like you see this here, the good news of the kingdom will be testimony to all nations throughout and throughout. And that's not the only midway touch point. But then, I mean, we'll read this week. I hate to like jump us to all the way to the end. But no, I mean, the Great Commission.
Oh, yeah, that is all the way to the end.
That is all the way to the end. But that's the thing. Like, this is the good news, and it's for all people. It is to be spread to all nations. That is our job. That's what we're here to do. And you told me to jump to the end if I wanted to, and now I feel bad.
You should not feel bad.
Never feel bad about talking about the Great Commission. But here we are. I mean, we're here reading about, you know, Jesus kind of telling what the end of days will look like and all of those things, but, like, to not miss good news for all people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Man, what a fun way you're getting to see that, Catherine, up close in the work that you all are doing.
And it's so fun watching because a number of our cast aren't Christians. A vast majority of our cast are not Christians. So to watch them just have conversations
about
this and just kind of, is really fascinating. And just to watch it portrayed, to see it acted live, because obviously, of course, I see it like everyone else in the world when they watch it, but I get to be there for some of the really fun bits. And you're just like, oh my goodness, it's just mind-boggling of just watching these words spoken, feeling the sincerity of what is happening in that moment, seeing these disciples who so honor the character, the real life people they're playing, saying the words of scripture. And it's not lost on any of them, whether they're Christian or not. They're very acutely aware of we are responsible for something that is actually quite holy. Even though they don't understand holy to what degree, it has been a marvel to watch of just the sincerity with which this cast feels the responsibility of what they're being asked to do.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That is so.
And just to listen to them all talk about, like, we all know what's coming. Oh, what's going to happen? We all know what's coming. And they're all just like, we try not to think about it.
Oh, wow.
But there's a handful of our cast who are method actors as well. So that's a whole other level.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, method acting is where you so embody what your character has to go through in whatever film you're doing, whatever play you're doing, or in this case, season. And could you imagine, like, Jonathan Rumi's a method actor. Could you imagine method acting Jesus?
No, I cannot. I cannot imagine.
I know.
My goodness, it gives me, even just hearing you say that, gives me a kind of a new glimpse into what it must have been like for the disciples as Jesus is saying, the Son of Man will be killed and rise again in 3 days. And they're thinking, and I mean, in last week's reading, Peter just flat out was like, no way, no, like, hush your mouth, Jesus. And that's when Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan, like, I'm doing a work here. And so, of course, like, to know what is coming, and yet not, and we'll see Jesus in the garden after he's arrested. You know, all of these readings are in this week's reading as we walk through Holy Week, and Jesus will be arrested, and his disciples, we think it's Peter, right, who cuts off the soldier's ear. Bless him, Peter. And Jesus has that moment where he's like, don't you know that I could call a legion of angels down to defend me if I wanted to right
12
now.
12 legions or something.
Legions. I was like, more than 12 legions.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Not even a singular legion. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he said a lot, a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, oh my. But he's like, but that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then we see him in the garden and knowing, like you just said, like, we know what's coming. How much more so did the Christ know what was coming?
Mm.
And he says, you know, the scripture says in Matthew 26, 38, he tells the disciples, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. And he prays again and again and again, take this cup from me, but your will be done.
And I was struck, because some translations say agony. He was in agony to the point of death, right? And so I sat there and I was like, okay, how many times, apart from martyrs, very few of us have been to that extreme of a crossroads, if you will, of faith. Mm. It's a crisis of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is asking something of us that is so intense, so hard, so demoralizing, immobilizing, all the words. But he did it without sin. So he felt full permission to say, if you could take this cup from me, please do. But he ended with, but not my will be done, yours. And I was like, he models for us perfectly how to be human, but also still choose above all else obedience to God and trusting, because it was after that that an angel came and strengthened him. Mm. But he had to first make that decision to go, your will first, Jesus.
That's right.
Then an angel comes and strengthens him. And I'm like, how much do we miss the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Like, so I love going, oh, I'm hurting right now. Holy Spirit, I need you to comfort me. Like, because I recognize, like, you are the only solution here. And so how often do we miss the strengthening of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, because we haven't yet. We want the comfort before we choose obedience. That really struck me.
Yeah.
When God's saying, I need your obedience so that I can bring you the fullness of my presence.
Oof. You're not wrong there. I would like just the comfort most of the time. We just skip the obedience altogether. Like, this is what he has to work with, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this
I
is
know.
How, you know, and why we have to just constantly, it is why is it every day, every moment, walking with. We've been talking about that word with a lot, but like walking with the yes. Lord. And the following Jesus is not just following behind, but like it is like we are right there walking with him in the way of Jesus. It's the only way.
I am somehow surprised and not surprised at how quickly our hour is going. I just looked down and I was like, oh, we're running out of time.
Guys, we're still Gavin. Here. Should we do this again next week? Just have
yeah,
a Bible
I think
study?
That we can have a double episode, but we're headed somewhere good right now. It feels like we're not headed somewhere good. But
well, first, we're headed somewhere really, really hard.
Yeah.
For you all listening, we know that you have this week of reading ahead of you, including Friday. Yeah. And Saturday, and yes, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to leave that for you to read on your own. And just my encouragement to you is to remember the historical Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, which we have talked about even in this episode about like, what is it like to portray him on TV? Mm-hmm. But also just to remember these stories that we have walked through, you know, starting with his genealogy and his birth, mm-hmm. and then witnessing through the gift of Matthew's gospel and the narrative that he gives us, Jesus' baptism, his ministry, all of these conversations, the really complex relationship he has with his disciples and their, you know, what do they know and when, and all of this, like all of this is the backdrop for this really pivotal moment.
That's right.
That we will get to.
That's right.
On Friday, when the sacrifice no longer becomes theoretical, it becomes real.
That's right. That's right. And Catherine, I'm thinking about the Chosen series, and that's something that you've just said, like, this is something that you all know is coming. And I mean, I'm trying to think where we are in time right now. Where are y'all in releases and what's coming in terms of what viewers can watch right now?
Yeah, so we've just started releasing season 4 in the app. We were in theaters in February, mm-hmm. and that was a global release, which is hugely excited. We were the first TV show ever to do a full season in theaters, which is pretty wild. Wow. Yeah, and so season 4 is we're finishing at the start of Holy Week. And so season 5 will be Holy Week in the lead up to everything we're reading about wow. now. And so it's kind of perfect timing. It'll be a really good yeah. symmetry. So and then we all know where the story's headed. So yeah. that will be season 6.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I wonder if leaving the Matthew reading to our listeners, having read it ourselves earlier, I wonder if we actually close with Isaiah 53. It feels like a lot of things right now, but I love how much I get to hear Isaiah in The Chosen. And so going to the Old Testament to read mm-hmm. what God promised about yeah. his son feels actually like a really sweet way to close this.
Yeah, and it's been all through the book of Matthew.
I mean, here we are. I mean, you're not wrong.
Jesus yeah. was quoting.
He's quoting it, exactly. Yeah. Why don't we read Isaiah 53 just to kind of close us out?
Okay, great. I'll start us. This is Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him.
Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was upon him. And we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of all of us.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with a rich man at his death, because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. And then we close with John 3:16. Thanks be to God, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Catherine, you are a delight. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful and difficult week of reading. It's just been a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah. It's truly been a privilege. This was a real highlight for me, a real treat. Thank you so much.
Well, friends, go forth into Holy Week. Be a woman or a man in the Word of God every day this week. This is the best time you could spend this week, is seeking the Lord in His Word, sitting in it, sitting in that story that is true. If you watch The Chosen or if you listen to the She Reads Truth podcast, please, we beg of you, don't stop there.
Yeah.
Go to His Word, and through His Word, go to Him, the one who gave His life willingly. It was not taken from Him, but He gave it for you. And friends, as you heard me read from John 3:16, if you believe this is true, that eternal life is yours. That's how we're going to close this episode. We are so grateful. And Catherine, we have four words that we end every episode with, and I'm going to invite you to say them. So come back next week. But until next week, Catherine, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.